the week before Thanksgiving podcast.
We're rolling.
It's live. Here we go. Just a few reminders. If you guys listen to this.
We got a lot of reminders, I feel like.
We got a lot of stuff on the board right now. So first on the agenda is this Saturday.
Yes.
You got the free functional mobility class.
At 10:30. I feel like we're hyping that up a little bit.
We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. So that's this Saturday. It's the 18th.
18th.
So if you're listening to this past the 18th, don't show up for this Saturday.
No.
Don't do that. You got Thanksgiving coming up, obviously. We'll be closed on Thanksgiving Day. And then we have a 7 and 8:30 on that Friday. And then everything else is running like normal. And then
Partner one on Saturday.
And then we have Christmas party. December 2nd. Yep. Remember, come dress as your spouse or your favorite coach.
Or least favorite coach.
Or just come in general.
Or not.
At the end of the day, I really don't give a shit if you dress up or not.
That's a, just kind of a good time. They were like, do I even have to like dress up? And I was like, damn, no. You really don't want to. You don't have to.
We do it as a thing to have a good time, but it's not something that's necessary to show up. I think some people feel like you have to dress up to show up, and it's not necessary. The more people, the better for the...
Sure.
And this is always one of our bigger, funner parties that we throw every year.
It's definitely one of the better ones, just because, I mean, there's going to be a lot of food. You're going to have games going on the whole time. It's pretty fun.
Well, this year is going to be hard to outdo last year. I feel like
last year we peaked. Now, we're saying that. I'm going to knock on some wood right there. Y'all never cease to amaze us, so...
Well, last year, I was the day after that week after the Christmas party last year, because it got pretty riled up pretty quickly last year. Within like an hour and a half. Usually it's more like a 2 to 3 hour time span. Like usually the general vibe is most people kind of mingle for about an hour to hour and a half.
Your first hour's chilled.
And then, you know, maybe you will play like a Christmas game or something like that and it's still kind of chilled. Maybe it gets a little rowdy then. And then maybe like 2 to 2.5 hours in, then it kind of starts ramping up.
Yeah.
I want to say within an hour of the party starting.
Dude.
By 8 o'clock, we were already...
There were still people, like, steady coming in the doors, and it was already, like, getting down. And I was like, oh, boy. I think me and you looked at each other at one point, and we were like, this is about to go down.
And it was that week after, or maybe the next day, like I said, Kaylee was through, like, I think next year we need to just do a family day.
Yeah, I think she said something like that. What did she say? I can't remember.
We're gonna do kids face painting in a bounce house, and we're gonna host it at noon on a Saturday.
I was like, there we go. But really, I don't know. I still thought it was really fun until like the last like hour when we were on cleanup duty. But everything else was really fun. I think everybody else had. I think mostly everybody had a really, really good time.
Yeah. All right, Kale, so what are we talking about today, dude?
Well, today, you were kind of caught me in the middle of it, but number one, the one question I did want to ask you to kind of start this whole thing off is, obviously, as a business owner, you have to, like, stay up to date with, like, different stuff, with, like, fitness stuff and the whole industry type of thing. But as a member who maybe wants to, broaden their fitness knowledge, what would you say would be their best resource to do that?
Well, this, I guess it depends on...
Or, like, what would be some things that you kind of use to help keep you up to date?
Well, obviously, social media has a lot of guys out there right now that you can... Or YouTube guys that you can go out there and look. I mean, there's so much knowledge out there now compared to when I kind of got into the game. Like, back in the day when I started,
doing, like, muscle and fitness magazine type stuff?
Well, early college days. It was, get the fitness magazines and read through that. And that's kind of how you kind of get the ball rolling on gaining some knowledge. And then I remember finding bodybuilding.com.
Okay.
Back in the day. And they had articles and forums
on the blogs.
And that
like
was kind of...
blogs were really big back then.
Yeah. And so that was my second resource to kind of... used back in the day, and that was obviously very much like diet and bodybuilding centered, obviously. And then finding CrossFit, you had the CrossFit Journal that they would put out information and things like that, and that was kind of like my third resource kind of going forward. And obviously, it's branched out to a lot of different people out there. I still think nutritionally wise, Lane Norton's still probably your best.
What?
Lane Norton is probably your best overall nutrition guy to still kind of go by.
What is that?
So he has a PhD in nutritional sciences, right? And does a lot of research. And so he really goes by like, hey, I'm going to give you what's actually been proven by scientifically data backed and proven what's actually going to work nutritionally wise, and not just kind of something pseudoscience that is going to give you what I feel by my gut.
Okay.
Or by my principles. What
so
works.
He's not going based off of like, I guess his experiences, he's more going off like actual data and like the science behind everything.
Sure. Yeah. You know, like, you know, you might have somebody who, they might be more like a holistic person. Like, who's that guy, the carnivore doctor guy, you know what I'm talking about? But anyways, he's real big on like just meats and fruits.
The guy that's real loud, he's kind of shorter.
He's always like, well, Kel's bullshit, yes. This is bullshit, yeah, that guy that's on Instagram. And, you know, sometimes he doesn't have all the data back up all the shit he's talking about, and Lane Norman always usually has. Anything he's going to give you, he has data to kind of back that what he's saying up. And so I've been following him for a long, long time. But he has a really good book of knowledge and things like that when it comes to, like, nutritionally wise. And then, obviously, when it comes to fitness, there's a lot of niches when it comes to, like, you could, like, follow, like, guys, like, just a rowing guy. And you could follow guys just a running guy and just a powerlifting guy.
Like, nowadays, it's a lot of people, like, they really just specialize in, like, this one specific thing. And they kind of, like, you just kind of pull things from this guy. Then you might pull things from this guy. And then you just kind of make your own narrative around it, right?
Well, and that was kind of the cool thing about CrossFit was, especially in the earlier days, when CrossFit was kind of, like, on the up and up and everybody was trying to learn about all these different facets of fitness, yeah, right? They would bring in, like, the best of everybody in these different perspectives, right? Sure. So, like, they would bring in...
Like Chris Hinshaw.
Like, right? Chris Hinshaw for running. They would bring in Mark Bell for powerlifting. They would bring in Chad Vaughn for Olympic weightlifting and Mike Bergner and all these different people. And, you know, different... God, what's that guy's name for gymnastics? I can see his face. I just don't remember his name. They do, like... what's that? The Monkey Fitness or something like that? Power Monkey or something like that? But anyways, he's like an Olympic gymnast.
Looper?
Huh?
Looper?
I don't know. He's like an Olympic gymnast back in the day. They brought him in, right? And you got this big old pool of a think tank of different people. And the thing was, like, how can you marry all these different training aspects into one? And I think right now, I think the hardest part for somebody who's trying to get the most well-rounded form of fitness is how do you fit this all within a realistic time frame?
Sure. Like, how do you fit that in an hour, hour and a half time, right?
Mm-hmm, like,
or even under that.
I mean, realistically, you're not a professional athlete.
Sure.
You're working an 8-to-5 job. You have other responsibilities, especially if you have kids. And you can't spend 3 or 4 hours in a day, you know, an hour on powerlifting, an hour a little bit weightlifting, an hour on running. Like,
it's just not feasible.
It's not feasible. And so how do you take all these different tools at your disposal and make yourself the most well-rounded version of fitness that you can? And I think that's probably still the thing that everybody's still kind of trying to solve that puzzle piece to a degree. I feel like, quote unquote, hyper training has definitely taken a big stride probably the past decade or so.
Like in popularity?
In popularity and just knowledge and resources. Because back in the day, you know, it was just kind of like you're either like an endurance sport athlete or you're a strength athlete.
Sure.
Or you did like bodybuilding. Right. And that was kind of like your three facets you kind of fell into. And unless you played like a sport, like you play like recreational basketball or football,
well, that's
or something
that's
like that. But when it came to like just the fitness realm, that was kind of the three pools you kind of fell in. And when kind of CrossFit kind of came around and started involving all these different things, that, you know, that hybrid model of endurance and strength and conditioning and coordination and all this, like, that's at first nobody knew really know how to program that properly, right? It was, you know, you might have like one powerlifting day. You might have an Olympic weightlifting day.
Sure,
right?
You kind of split it up into days. Almost.
Yeah. And, but over the past decade, more and more knowledge has came out. I think just like with anything, it takes trial and error. And, you know, you kind of, maybe you overtrain for a little while and you're like, okay, that's too much volume. Then you're seeing too much progressions in certain areas and not enough in the others. And then on the other side, like obviously you don't put enough volume in certain areas, then you're kind of wasting your time. And, but there's so many different resources out there to find that.
I feel like nowadays, like, especially kind of like you said, with social media, is like, it's, everybody has like their own Instagram influencer that they maybe follow. Everybody has their own Facebook person they believe in. And so it's honestly just like whatever person you probably enjoy learning from, right? That you're probably going to get the most out of.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day,
as long as you're not following just some random guy that's just spitting out a bunch of bullshit at you.
Sure. it's a slippery slope when it comes to, I think, social media and social media content and what you kind of listen to and what you follow. That's why I'm like a big proponent of like Lane Norton when it comes to like nutritionally wise, because he doesn't really sell you on like, this is the way and this is the only way. He's just saying, here, this is a way, right? And here's the studies to prove these certain facts and to disprove these certain other facts. And that's, so he doesn't give you like, this is like just one brochure, that's the only way you can do it to see X, Y, and Z results. And usually if that is the case where you have somebody telling you like, kind of like a snake oil salesman where, you know, this, like I have the one thing. Like
Liver King.
Like you have to eat liver, you have to do things.
Pride it all on one thing.
Right? Sure. That's usually the red flag to say, okay, this guy's not looking out for your own personal best interest. They're trying to make money off of you some way, somehow, because they own the answer that you're looking for, and they're the only one that can sell it to you. And more often than not, there's always more than one way to skin the cat, so to speak. And you have to find those guys that are willing to kind of put that information out there and to say, hey, these are best practices that I have found for myself, but there's also other ways to get to point B as well. And I think sometimes when you start to listen to too many talking heads, it gets really confusing, right? But in all actuality, in the day, they're all kind of saying the same things. It's just you got to kind of find maybe, you know, two or three guys that you trust the most that, you know, that resonates with you personally, and then going from there without having so much, you know, information where it's paralysis by analysis, where there's so much that you're kind of thinking about, you're like, I don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a real slippery slope when it comes to social media.
So, like, for you, like, what would be an ideal day of, like, if you were able to make, like, the perfect protocol for, like, any gym member, what would be your recommendation to them?
Well, what do you mean?
So, like, for instance, like, what is the perfect program outside of, like, a class, right? So, like, let's say you have, maybe not all day, right, but maybe you have, like, an hour, hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying, okay, they do the class program, they're like, I want something more.
Sure.
Is kind of what you're saying.
Like, what would be
well, I guess, I guess if you're kind of taking like a one broad stroke, obviously the easy answer
would be,
I'm saying like the easy answer like would be, it depends, right? Because if somebody's their goals are more centered around endurance training, right? That would be different compared to somebody who is strength training or who just wants a
physique wise
or whatever. There's kind of different buckets you can kind of fall into. I think generally most people, you know, you kind of like get down to the roots of their why is usually it's in the form of, I want to obviously be healthier. I want to look better naked. I want to perform relatively well in the gym. And they kind of fall within those three realms. Uh-huh. And so what I find for most people that they would benefit the most from to achieve those three things would be, one, working on more general strength in isolation work and things like that to help benefit them. And then two would be working on positions and mobility and things like that.
Like that. So you're almost saying like more of like a, not necessarily like accessory work, but like accessory stuff like bodybuilding with like mobility work on the side.
I think the benefit to kind of bring in the whole entire package,
that
right?
Would be it.
I think so, at least in my opinion, right? We do strength work inside our programming, right? But at the same time, it is a generalized program. So if your upper body pulling is lacking, right? And I think one thing for longevity wise is to be able to do a strict pull up, right? Which a lot, especially females, can't do. Well, you getting on running on the road for an extra 3 miles a week probably isn't advantageous, right? Compared to you taking a little extra time to work on your lat strength and your bicep strength and your upper back strength would be longer, it would work better in the long term for yourself, in my opinion, right? But at the same time, it just depends on the person, because there are some people that you'd be benefiting from maybe adding in a little bit more monostructural work from time to time. It's a little bit independent based off that individual need and what they want, but I think for the most part, most people would benefit that they would perform better in the gym, they would probably look a little better, and they would probably feel better if they worked on a little bit more accessory type movements with a little bit of mobility training in the way of like building through better ranges of motions. Not necessarily static training. I think people always think about mobility as like static stretching, but actually doing like strength work through achieving better ranges of motions within would help them out in this fuller package. In my opinion.
What do you kind of mean by that though? Like, what would that be for somebody that's maybe listening right now? Like, what would you be giving them an example of?
So let's say, for instance, somebody's working out 4 times a week in the gym. Okay. This is kind of like, I would say that's probably
maybe above average,
maybe slightly above average for most people. Maybe, I think maybe probably your average probably falls around three, but let's say maybe 4, you do 4 days a week. And you're like, okay, like, and you've been doing that for maybe 1 to 2 years at this point in time now. And you're happy with how things are going, right? But you maybe just want a little bit more out of your training, right? Like, I'd like to maybe get a little better, like get a little better times. I've kind of been stuck in blue for a while now. I really want to get up to purple and, you know, maybe drop a little bit more body fat, but a little more skeletal muscle mass in the process. Then, you know, we'd have to kind of examine that person and what maybe their weak points are. Maybe they're a great presser, but they're a poor puller or vice versa, right? You would then kind of examine
that.
Yeah,
where you go.
Yeah. And maybe, because like usually that's how most people kind of fall into. Maybe, like me personally, yeah, like you're a great presser, but I'm a better puller, right? And then kind of the opposite, like maybe you're a better squatter, I'm a better puller off the ground, like better deadlifter or something like that. And so you would maybe say, okay, well, you're really strong in these individual pieces. I don't think you'd benefit from putting extra valuable time by working on more pressing, right? I understand maybe you enjoy it, and maybe you want to do it just because you like it. That's fine. But you would benefit more from working on your pulling than you would from working on your pressing. So you would formulate maybe a day in there that you're working on 15, 20 minutes of extra pulling work, right? It could be negatives on the pull-up bar. It could be dumbbell or barbell rows. It could be curls, things of that nature. And maybe you spend another day in there where you're like, okay, well, maybe, you know, maybe we need to work on your hamstring strength because you're a poor puller off the ground, right? Deadlifts always crush you. But we're going to work on RDLs and monkey foot hamstring curls and Bulgarian split squats. And maybe another day in there, you're like, okay, well, maybe I'm lacking in like short workouts. I always find myself kind of falling behind everybody, right? Where, okay, well, maybe we can work on higher output by doing like bike sprints and rower sprints and help increase your lactic threshold tolerance. But I think sometimes what people don't realize is when it comes to like maybe like shorter workouts that you, so it's not the fact of lack of like fitness per se. It's that you have the lack of power output.
Okay.
So you can take somebody who is like a really good endurance athlete and then you give them a workout like Monday's workout, the 9, 12, 15 hang squat cleans and burpee box jumps, is they don't have the high enough power output to achieve the desired stimulus per se. Right, it's not that they're super fit. Obviously, they can breathe really well, but they don't have enough strength power output to.
Their muscles are put in that situation.
Well, they don't have enough explosiveness and power output to achieve their desired result. Right, so you would then from there take that time to increase that power output from that individual person. And I feel like that's where most people fall into, is in that realm. Now, you do have some people where maybe their background is like, for instance, like Seth Granger is a primary example of somebody who has a lot of power output, right? Very explosive person that's come from his baseball background and football background, that he probably wouldn't benefit the most from constantly doing those type of things.
Yeah.
He would benefit maybe more so from building more of an aerobic base and working on skills and moving better and working on mobility compared to just constantly working on power output. But I feel like most people would benefit from working on more on building more skeletal muscle mass, building more power output. And then that would help translate over to better workouts in watts, per se.
Okay.
That's just at least my opinion.
No, I feel like that's good. I feel like it's pretty solid. And then I also want to kind of get your opinion. I thought this was kind of cool, but I don't know if you really think about this too much. Probably don't. But throughout your whole like deal with owning the gym and everything, what would be like your top three, I guess not necessarily proudest moments, but having members come in and seeing them change, I guess. Mm-hmm. What would be like your top three coolest? And it's hard for me to word it, but like as a member, right, coming into a gym, you've seen a lot of people maybe come from like super fit backgrounds to all the way from being like maybe not fit, maybe never worked out before in their life, mm-hmm. right? And what would be like your coolest transformation, I guess, as a member? Would you want to talk about that maybe?
So you're saying like the biggest transformation for a member?
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm trying to think about it off the top of my head that immediately comes to mind as like individuals. I mean, for instance, like Matt Bell is somebody first comes to mind of somebody who literally started Cooper Bell at the old box. It was right around that transition time in 2014. We were leaving. This box was being built. We're at that other location right down the road. And I still remember him having to use a PVC pipe for a lot of things.
For a lot of stuff.
And, you know, Cooper's, I think at the time, was either right around high school at that time. And he hadn't really worked out in 30 years, 40 years, you know, a good businessman and whatnot. And how that mental transformation happened over, you know, that 3-year span where the guy literally looked like, you know, anybody's dad who, like, you know, worked a desk job, belly, you know, kind of double chin. And, you know, a 3-year transformation, the guy's doing muscle ups and handstand walking and running laps around people making the CrossFit games, you know, just a couple years later.
Sure.
Right? Like, that's a humongous transformation. Or even somebody like back in the day, like, even though Kerry Miller moved to Florida, right?
Uh-huh.
So back in the day, they had this thing was called like the Biggest Loser contest.
Uh-huh.
And it was LaBerge had hosted it, and they had, you know, 60 employees who participated in this, and 10, and they went in like groups of 10, and each 10 went to a different gym, right? And they did this for like a 6 or 8 week transformation challenge, whatever it was. And Kerry was in that group of 10 that started at our gym at the old box. And I still remember programming that first workout for them. It was somewhere around like an 8-minute AMRAP of 100-meter walk, and then 8 PVC pipe sort of high pulls and 8 PVC pipe strip presses. And they all died.
All died,
right? Like, that simplistic of a workout, right? And Kara's in that part of that group. And, you know, fast forward, you know, roughly about a year and a half later, everybody fell off but her. She stuck around. And, you know, her kicking up into a handstand and lifting barbells overhead and be able to run 400 meters without stopping.
Sure.
That's a humongous transformation from somebody from where she started at, right? And same thing with Jim, who comes, he's 73 years old, right? Like, Jim is somebody where when he first started, 73 years old, hadn't worked out in probably 30, 40 years, out of the military, smoked for 40 years. And because he's next door neighbors with Shelly, he's like, oh, it looks like something must be fun. Somebody can maybe, you know, maybe could get a hold of, right? At 73 years old, like, how many 73-year-old people actually do something like that? Especially something like CrossFit. It's one thing for them to pick up like an aerobics class or go walk around the block, but it's one thing for them to join a CrossFit gym. And when he first started and we'd get done with the workout afterwards and we'd get on the ground to stretch, I would have to physically help him off the ground or give him a box to help getting off the ground. And now he pops in off the ground like it's no big deal, right? And that's a humongous win for a guy like that, 73 years old. Or even my mother, where she couldn't hardly do a squat or a lunge because her knees hurt so bad, right? Like, going up the stairs was a humongous task for her when I was in high school, right? And she started doing CrossFit probably in the 2014, 2013 time frame. Now she's out there.
She's been doing it for a while.
Yeah, she's been doing it a long time. And so she's out there deadlift as much as Sydney now.
Literally, I hope she listens.
Yeah. And so it's just, it's cool things like that that go a really long ways. And I think one of the cooler aspects that you see a lot of times with people when they come in and they have that conversation with you as a coach, well, you know, I got this going on. I can't really do a pull up because I have a bum shoulder, or like, I got a bad back and I can't really deadlift, or I got a hurt knee and I can't squat or run. And, you know, you kind of give them the whole, we can modify, we can adjust, no big deal. And somewhere around, if they come consistently, you know, somewhere around 2 to 3, 4 months in, when they ask that initial question of like, hey, how do we get a pull up?
Yeah.
And you see the wheels, you kind of see the switch start happening, that they start to kind of gain a little bit more confidence in themselves. And this person that said they had all these restrictions as to they can't do X, Y, and Z and all these different facets, 6 months down the road, they're doing all the things they said they couldn't do. Right. And it's just this barrier or this handcuff they're putting on themselves when they first started that they eventually start to let go and realize, okay, it really was just kind of excuse. Yeah, I had like these little nagging things going on, but they're a lot stronger, a lot more capable than they thought they were. As I think it's a cool transformation too.
I always thought that was pretty cool. Just like, especially like getting to see people, because I get to work with like the phase oneers and phase twos, not as much as I used to, but I still get to work with them when they come in at certain times. And kind of like you're saying, is like seeing the switch, but also getting to see like their whole body transformation almost kind of deal. And I think even somebody said something about it in the group the other day. I think somebody posted an old photo of like the Jacob Guillory and like Leland, all them F-445
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was kind of saying like, it's so cool to see everybody here still being here.
Well,
right?
Somebody had posted a, who was it?
Might have been like maybe Eric.
Well, no, maybe Shelly had posted a video, but then somebody had posted a picture. Maybe it was like during the Open or something like that, because I think they had all the green shirts on or something.
Yeah, it was like during the Open.
And you know, there's probably 15 people in the picture, 12 of which are still here.
Yeah.
And that picture was probably taken 4 years ago.
Long time ago.
Yeah, and it is pretty cool to see pictures from multiple years, and majority of the people still in the photos are still around here. I mean, I don't know how many gyms can physically say, like, we have members that have been here for that amount of time.
I feel like the retention rate is, for the people that, like you said, like, have been here, I feel like across the gym might have, like, the highest retention rate of, like, mm-hmm. a member. Would you agree with that?
I mean, honestly, I can't say that for sure. I mean, I can't go to, you know, Planet Fitness and ask what the retention rate is there, but...
But, like, I feel like we have so many members that have been here for... 8+ years. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I'm writing the anniversary stuff for Heidi and everything. And I think this year I've gotten up to like 12 years. I think I'd even gotten up to like maybe 13 years for like Mr. Greg. And Mr. Greg's been here for a long time too. And I always thought that was so cool. And then seeing like Jacob in that photo looking all like a little beefcake over there in mm-hmm. the rower. And I was like, that's crazy to see him now, but even still here though.
Yeah. And so it's cool to see people still, and like people that come all the time.
Yeah.
It's not somebody's in a picture and like, oh, they come, you know, once a month.
Like once here and there.
They're still, you know, 4 or 5 day a week or people multiple years down the road. And that's ultimately the true testament of living a healthy lifestyle. Right?
That goes with anything.
Yeah. I think everybody always looks at it as something that it's like always a temporary thing. That's just the common mindset that people have when it comes around like fitness and working out. And if you can have somebody who's been working out for, you know, a decade plus, that's what ultimately people should be striving for. Is somebody who has found that consistent path of finding that groove with themselves where it's just an automatic behavior where you can't really see yourself not doing it anymore, mm-hmm. right? Like it got to the point in time where it's not, it's kind of like that point in time of like fitness maturity, I guess, where you stop looking at always the PRs and always about the body composition and all these different things. You start looking at more of the long-term effects and the, compounding effect of
everything
working out for a decade plus and how that could benefit you. And I think you only start to realize that maybe as you start getting a little bit older and you start seeing people around your age. And you start to see how much restrictions they kind of have on themselves now because they're not taking care of themselves for 10, 20, 30 years. And you start to kind of, that light bulb kind of starts to go off your head like, damn, this is why I did what I did all these years is because I can go up a flight of stairs, no big deal, and they're having to hold on to the rail and they look like they're really about to fall over,
sure.
right? Or, you know, the kid takes off running and they can barely shuffle out of the place. You know, and it's all these little things that... that you don't really think about in the moment as when you kind of start the fitness journey. Immediately, I think everything at first is a little bit more for shallow reasons.
Uh-huh.
Like either I want to lift a heavy barbell or I want to look better naked or I'm trying to get chicks or whatever it may be. It's kind of for shallow reasons to start. But over a period of time, those whys start to change. But that can only be achieved through a long enough timeline. You can't, that's not something that's bought. It has to be earned.
Yeah.
You know?
My God, that is all I had on my little paper.
Okay. Okay. Well, cool deal. I mean, it didn't have to be like a long, because the last couple podcasts we've been doing
50 minutes.
Like
50, minutes.
Yeah, 50, 55.
I still think
minutes.
The last one we did was probably one of our best ones, if not the best one.
Yeah. Like I said, I tooted our own horn a little bit. That was a good one.
I like that one a lot, actually.
But
I even went back and re-listened to that one.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it's not often I do that. Like, I've probably only done that twice, I think. I think I did it, like, when we first started the mm-hmm. podcast. I re-listened to the first one and put myself through that torture.
I always hate listening to myself. I never, it's never fun.
And, well, I listen to so many other podcasts that it's like, And they all say it, it's like, you got to listen to your own podcast if you really want to, like,
improve
get better
it.
At it, you know? Yeah. And I, like, I always try it. I'll start a podcast and I'll get, like, 15, 20 minutes into
it. Sure.
But this last one, I listened to the whole dang thing, like, all over again.
Was it as good as you thought it was?
I thought it was good. I still okay. thought it was good. And for me to, because I was like, I felt like it was a really good one. And then I was like, the only way I'm going to really know if it was a good one is if I listen to the whole thing.
Sure.
And so I literally listened to the whole thing and I was like, I feel like this is a really good one.
It's when it comes to like our podcast in general, right? We do it more for getting
not for like the general public.
And that's what I'm saying. Like our podcast is never gonna be on this podcast. That's a 20, 50, 100,000
sure.
listener
yeah.
podcast, right? That's not our sole job is to be podcasters. So we're not putting all our attention into like creating the best possible podcast there is. We're just trying to. The original idea behind the podcast in general was to go into more in-depth discussions about our fitness philosophies, our thoughts behind things and thoughts behind the gym. And while we do things at the gym, to have a more in-depth discussion about those.
Because we can't talk about it in the class.
In a 60-minute window, you don't have those times because it's kind of shitting and getting. And you know, maybe you have a little bit of discussions here or there during stretching, right? But it's not really in-depth and done in a long enough time so you can really get your point across as to what you're trying to say. And that was really the main reason why we even started or brought back the podcast was for those reasons. And so it's not like we have professional, like literally the podcast is done on my phone. It's not
yeah.
like, we don't have like professional equipment and we're kind of still in an echo, this echoey, my office is kind of echoey. So it's not like the best audio quality either by any means. But, and so it's one of those things, like we try to give you guys as much information and thought behind things, but it's obviously not our full-time gig now we put all our focus in on because we're just trying to help you guys out as best we can with the podcast and get our information out there as best we can. And so one quick question for you a little bit. Did you see, when you could kind of ask some about the CrossFit business at first. Did you? And so supposedly the word on the street is right now that CrossFit is, I don't know if CrossFit HQ is going to sell to somebody.
Oh.
Or that CrossFit is going to start franchising.
What do you mean?
Because apparently they said, maybe I deleted the email and I didn't, because sometimes I get so much junk email
sure.
I don't even necessarily look at all the stuff. But supposedly they sent out a survey to a lot of the affiliate owners and the vibe people were getting from the questionnaire was that potentially CrossFit is looking into a franchise model now instead of an affiliate model that's currently in place.
Okay.
So for you guys that don't know, essentially all for a CrossFit affiliate, you have to maintain your level one, at least the owner does. It has to maintain
like
a level
a lot
one.
Of people are gonna boot it.
Well, as I'm saying, it has to maintain a level one certification. And then you have to also have insurance and things of that nature. And you pay the $3,000 a year price tag for the name affiliate or CrossFit. And
that's your only tie to them, though.
But that's literally it. Like CrossFit headquarters doesn't really provide you any resources per se. They have like blogs and like that, like here are some best practices, things
sure.
of that nature. But in a way like CrossFit helping you out, no, they're not calling you up and doing those different things, right? Like it wasn't like when the hurricane came, like somebody was calling me up and say, hey, how's the business doing? Like they don't really don't give a shit, right? Which is fine. Like, that's kind of understood. That's the way I always understood them, which I'm cool with, right? Because some people get upset with CrossFit headquarters. They don't do more for CrossFit
sure.
affiliates. But I'm like, if you want them to do more, that's what a franchise tag is, right?
Yeah.
So franchising would be something like an Orange Theory, right? Where you go to an Orange Theory. And from what I know of just, or like an Anytime Fitness where you can go to Anytime Fitness in the whole entire world, right? Same thing, I'm pretty sure for Orange Theory, whereas if you move to New Orleans, you just carry your Orange Theory fitness membership
to
New Orleans,
Theory,
right?
Yeah, Orleans.
And the equipment is exactly the same. The workouts are exactly the same. The layout of the floor is pretty much the same, right? It might have some subtle differences here or there, but for the most part, you don't really see a whole lot of differences between one Orange Theory to the next one, right? Or, you know, it's kind of like the same thing for like a McDonald's, right? The menu's going to be exactly the same. The layout might look a little bit different. You might have better customer service at one McDonald's, better than the other McDonald's.
Thing.
But in essence, it's the same thing. And from what people are kind of hinting at is that CrossFit is maybe pushing into that, right? That potentially if you franchise with CrossFit, right? Like, I don't know what that package would look like. I don't know what all that would entail. But essentially, it then allows them to, you basically could use their marketing tools. They could provide you more resources, but also that comes with a lot more of a price tag.
Well, I was going to say, I feel like maybe that would be a good option for ginormous CrossFit gyms, like big CrossFit gyms, mm-hmm. I feel like, that have like maybe 1,000 plus members, like huge. I feel like what makes CrossFit is having its own personality, like having your own gym personality and having like your own almost signature on your gym, right? And I feel like, and another thing is like, I feel like a lot of CrossFit gyms don't have a surplus of members, right? So like, I feel like if you were maybe, I don't know if it would be beneficial for the gym owner. What do you think?
It just depends. Like, I think some people,
like maybe if it's a side hustle and it's like your second thing, or,
well, it depends. I think it depends on what kind of gym owner you want to be. Right. So like the allure to having a franchise model, right, is you take a lot of the decision making and workload off your shoulders, sure, as a business owner, right? Where
you almost then become like a manager in a set.
Yeah, right? And to a degree, right? You're kind of managing it,
but yes, at the end of the day, you're not running it.
Yeah. Right? I think that's probably a good term is using the word like you're more of you're managing the facility than you are owning the facility per se. Like, quote unquote, you are the owner of that franchise. But at the end of the day, like, you are still the manager of the franchise, where, you know, CrossFit is basically setting out a set amount of rules that you have to abide by, right? And your job for the most part is to make sure that it's running like a well-oiled machine at the end of the day, right? Like, customer service is good, like, things are running and operating like they should is essentially kind of what it comes down to. But when it comes to like more our model, or like anybody who's like a more of an independent owner, right, like all of those decisions are now put on your shoulders, right? Like when it comes down to how much are you going to charge, how's your staff going to run classes,
sure,
you know, what's your schedule going to be like, you know, what's your marketing look like? All these different facets are now made by you as a business owner now, not somebody giving the tools to you,
yeah,
right? So it definitely, I understand for some people that is more what they're after. They're like, I really don't care it being my certain brand or all these X, Y, and Z factors. I just want to, quote unquote, own a gym and have somebody just give me all the material that I need.
To me, that is just, maybe it's, I just think that's crazy, just mm-hmm. because I'm kind of spoiled with your gym, like you owning the gym and the way you've ran everything. I don't know. I feel like as a gym owner, maybe you should take more pride and I feel like, I don't, you know what I'm kind of saying?
Well,
like,
I think especially when it comes to the CrossFit realm, right? The way it's
like,
kind of,
in my opinion, like a successful CrossFit gym is like somebody that like really cares and like puts the time in and puts the effort into the gym. And I feel like it shows inside the gym.
Well,
and maybe you could do that in a franchise, but
I don't know how well, even if they decide they're going to go down that model, right? Because supposedly CrossFit headquarters is not doing well,
yeah,
from what everybody kind of keeps saying and talking about, and so they're trying to find ways and avenues to be more profitable, I guess, for CrossFit headquarters, and so they're maybe using this as like maybe they're potentially looking into that being an option for them. The only thing is, like, once you've already set the model that you currently have, it's kind of hard to unravel that ball that you've created, and I don't know how many affiliate owners that are currently own CrossFit affiliates would be willing to switch to that model, right?
And especially because like they've already gone down this rabbit hole that they've gone through, and so I feel like the gyms that are still out there, and there's obviously still gyms that probably aren't doing the best, but like if you're still here as a CrossFit gym at this point in time, mm-hmm. I feel like you're doing something right.
Yeah, I mean, I think at least in the United States wise, like I was looking at something the other day that they were kind of breaking down CrossFit gyms in general around the world and kind of what the outlook's looking like, right? Where the more United States bubble for CrossFit was kind of like that 2014 to 2017 area. It was kind of like that bubble area where you had a big soar in popularity during that time frame. And then somewhere around that 2018, 2019 area,
fell, right?
Kind of started to kind of drop off. And then essentially from what I'm kind of understanding is that's what's kind of currently going on in Europe, where they're kind of in that bubble phase where it's like really taking off in Europe, okay, because they're kind of behind us on that fitness realm. And then it's still in very much infancy stage in other parts like Asia and still in South America, where it still hasn't quite got any traction over there just yet. So still very much in infancy stage. And so I don't know, at least I think, I feel like more people overseas would do it more so than the United States. That's just my gut feeling. I can't say that for sure. But I don't even know what the franchise model would look like in the form of like CrossFit. But obviously if they decided they were to go that route and to say, okay, we're going to more of a franchise model now, like this is the price tag for it, and we decided obviously where we weren't going to do that, then obviously we would have to drop the name CrossFit, because then legally by that point in time you can no longer carry the name.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd have to drop it.
Be your own gym, whatever you would want to call it.
Yeah, where you're called Hurricane Fitness or Hurricane Gym or whatever that name may be. But in which we've had this discussion for the podcast too, because all the end of the day, even if CrossFit HQ were to fold, right, where there was no more CrossFit, technically by an HQ standpoint, it wouldn't affect our gym by any means. It literally would not affect me in what way whatsoever, right? Like, other than potentially having to, I don't know, even legally you'd have to change the name or not, but the only thing being you'd have to maybe change the name of the gym, you have to drop the name CrossFit, insert something else in there, would be the only thing I could foresee as possibly affecting us. But
but I mean, that even that's like, what's that do? Like, that gets you a drop-in fee here and there, and like, you know, like,
yeah,
like you search CrossFit, like we might be the first thing that pops up in like Charles, but like besides that, I don't see the benefit, you know.
And we've had that discussion before on here about the stigma with the CrossFit name at times, where, you know, people automatically are going to write you off with that name.
Yeah.
And you know, there's definitely been times where that has been something that's crossed on my about dropping the name on it, just because of the stigma that surrounds the name sometimes for some people.
And I do feel like you could probably get more people to walk through the doors that way.
Yeah. And so it wouldn't be like the worst thing in the world by any means. It wouldn't, like, I saw someone on Instagram today that said CrossFit's folding at the end of the year. There no longer will be a CrossFit headquarters anymore. It wouldn't, I mean, it'd be like, obviously it would be news, but it wouldn't be something that I would freak out about.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, it'd be interesting to see how that plays off in the long run and see what comes of it, to be honest.
Do you think CrossFit will be a thing in 10 years?
I don't know. I think just like with anything, it'll still continue to evolve over time, but will it be technically CrossFit? I don't know, man.
The ideology and everything will still be here.
Yeah.
But I don't think...
Like, do you think actual CrossFit headquarters will still exist? Is what you're asking?
I think it would be tough.
I don't know. So apparently there's...
Just in the 10 years that I've been here for it, it's kind of gone down. And so, like, I don't know if it would make another tent.
I don't know. If you look at the trajectory path for probably the last, like, 5 years, when it comes to, like, headquarters, it's probably not the best-looking outcome when it comes to that kind of stuff. And I don't know. I know we've talked about this a little bit, but... it's kind of a weird, and I hate to even use like the CrossFit Games as like the...
I don't think it'll be a CrossFit Games.
You think that'll eventually fold?
I think that'll...
Well, if CrossFit folds, CrossFit Games fold.
I think it'll end up being like something along the lines of like the fittest, but I don't think it'll be called CrossFit Games.
But when me and you first kind of got started in CrossFit, right, where you had the CrossFit Games on, where it was still very much entwined and tied to the affiliates and like the methodology and the community and all the good that comes from CrossFit. And it's gotten away from that, at least on like game standpoint, like what's the media standpoint on that has kind of gotten away from that, I think. And I don't know if that's created some of the downfall to it, because look at any major main athlete in CrossFit now, none of them talk about it in that realm, right? There's nothing about, oh, I have, you know, I'm affiliate owner and I have these members that do X, Y, and Z, right? And that used to be a lot of the talk back in the day of like these, like Rich Frawney and Chris Spieler and Matt Chan and Jason Calipo. All these guys were obviously very good CrossFitters at the time and like elite CrossFitters. But a lot of the social media that came with them came from the fact that they were also very much tied into the CrossFit community. Yeah. And now it's not like that anymore. Like all the main guys like Pat Bellner and Ben Fikowski and Jess Medeiros, they all work out in their garages now at home. There is no CrossFit affiliate involved with them anymore.
It's more rare to see like an Instagram video or a Facebook video of them actually in a gym rather than like in their house or in their garage, right?
And so all that dynamic has now changed. And I think because of that, obviously the vibe around CrossFit has kind of changed over the years. And just like anything, everything evolves over time. But it will be interesting to see how the CrossFit Games and CrossFit headquarters evolve over the next 5 to 10 years.
I think you'll see, in my opinion, I think you're going to see a company like Rogue, and they're going to host it.
Like the CrossFit Games?
Yeah.
Like the Rogue Invitational,
like
CrossFit
there's
Games?
There's going to have to be a big enough company like Rogue
to
do it, to have the money and resources to do it. Because, I mean, essentially Rogue already puts on the CrossFit Games. I mean, everything's Rogue, everything, like literally everything. And so I could definitely easily see Rogue saying, all right, I'm just going to buy y'all out at this point.
Yeah.
I'm not going to host this competition.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know how things are going to go. I don't know what the best fix for headquarters are.
Rogue Invitational already gives out more money than CrossFit Games. Or maybe not more money, but damn near the same, you know?
Yeah, like $100,000 plus.
So yeah. I don't know. I think, I think it'll be interesting, but it'll be interesting the next couple years.
Yeah. So, but anyways, we'll see how that goes. But anyways, appreciate you guys listening, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
See you.